Well, good morning, everyone. I want to thank the organizers for this invitation to speak at this symposia. So it's been very interesting so far, and lots of good questions and good discussion. So I'm going to give you a little bit of information, I guess, on what's happening in Western Canada, and I'll acknowledge my co-authors here. Steve Shurtleff is with the University of Saskatchewan in Saskatoon. Martin Anz is with the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg. Eric Johnson is with Agriculture Canada in Scott, Saskatchewan. And then Claire and Iris are two graduate students doing some work. So a little bit of background information for you. We have about 1,500 organic farmers, about 500,000 hectare under production. That represents about 2%. And mainly an export-based industry, so wheat actually being our number one crop, so that's probably very different than many other areas. Most of that wheat is going to Europe. Weeds are a big problem, as probably everybody acknowledges here in all the previous talks. Lots of tillage used to control weeds, but cultural methods are used as well, so crop rotation. We have a number of crops that we can grow, so we're lucky in that way. They will definitely use a higher seeding rate, so they will double their seeding rate commonly, and where possible, they'll try and choose a competitive cultivar as well. And soil erosion is a concern in some areas, and so I'll talk a little bit more about that. That's actually maybe the Achilles heel of our organic systems in Western Canada. So this was this study done in 2001 and sort of looked at the no-till and reduced till, which you can see over in this area, and then compared to the organic systems. And it's wind erosion. We're in the northern Great Plains. We're just immediately north of Montana, North Dakota, semi-arid region, and it's a windy environment. And so I often have 80, 100 kilometer winds in my area. So in this system, the organics don't look well, and one of the major problems that we have. So a little bit about green manure and cover crops. They certainly are widely used. I think you almost have to use them in an organic system. Sweet clover and red clover are the two legume crops that are primarily used as green manure crops to get nitrogen into our system. And I'll talk a little bit more about them later. Winter rye is used to provide ground cover against erosion and get some weed suppression out of that. The double disc is probably the most widely used implement, and with lots of V-blade cultivars. The moldboard plow is not used at all in our systems. And as I've mentioned a little bit about some of the concerns, soil erosion and the energy inputs, and some of the organic systems, don't compare all that well with our no-till systems, which represent about 70% of our land is under no-till right now. But certainly, partly because of that, the organic growers are very, very interested in lower soil disturbance systems. So that's the good news. That's the great news. But they have lots of questions. Some of them being, can weeds be controlled? Will the end supply from these green manure crops still be good? And that's in situation. And can we plant fallen crops into a higher residue system? So I'm going to give you three or four examples of some of the research that we're doing. So some of the work from Stephen, some from Martin, some from myself. So the first one is we're going to talk a little bit about sweet clover. This is my own work in Lethbridge, Alberta. And sweet clover is a biennial legume. And so maybe I need to back up a little bit and just say that we're in a short season growing environment, 110 to 130 days. So for us to sort of plant something in the spring and get a lot of good things happening in terms of nitrogen fixation, it's difficult. So, sweet clover is a biennial legume. The red clover is a perennial legume. And so we're tending to grow those things for multiple years and have a whole year where we have not a crop. So it's like a fallow replacement crop, really, is to get enough biomass and get enough nitrogen fixation. So sweet clover, biennial legume, so we interseeded in the first year's crop. It's a green manure in the next year, in year two, we would terminate that growth in late June or early July. Then we have this partial fallow until freeze-up of our soils in October, and then we plant a following crop. And so this is just a picture of what it looks like. Well, here's another picture. So in year two, it's a reasonably drought-tolerant, winter-hardy crop. resumes growth very early in spring, so it's very, very competitive with weeds in the year two. There's almost no weeds in that crop. It's a pretty good nitrogen fixer and a lot of biomass. We would have anywhere from maybe 4,000 to 7,000 kilograms per hectare in that year two. So, and the normal method of termination would be come in at bloom stage, at full flowering, and they would come in with a double disc and just sort of incorporate that in, and then it would just sort of be treated as a fallow for the rest of the summer. So one of our experiments, we wanted to see whether we could do something that was a little less soil disturbance method of killing that. So we have a mow treatment, and we removed the top growth as hay, so there's a so they would have a little bit of cash flow in that year. They could use that, they could feed that to cattle, because again, we have, you know, a whole year without any money being generated. We mowed that sweet clover, left it on the soil surface. We did the double disc treatment, which would be more of our standard treatment. And we had a mold borer plow treatment in there as just a sort of the contrast, the soil disturbance level. So we had a complete incorporation with that treatment, even though that's not something that farmers do. So I'm going to show you some data here. So just remind you, we terminated that sweet clover crop, say, in the first week of July. And we came in and looked at weed biomass in October of that year two, and the sweet clover mow, disc plowed, they all look very good. That sweet clover hay treatment, we removed all the top growth there, and so we didn't have the residues that were suppressing weed growth. So we, you can see that was not a good situation for us. And then if you look the following spring. You'll see that you know, the disc treatment, there was quite a few weeds in there, and actually this mow treatment looked very, very good in that situation, again because we still had quite a bit of residue on the soil surface at that time. And sweet clover does have some allelopathic effects as well, and I'll show you that in the next picture. So it's one of the reasons why the growers like it, besides being so productive. So here in this picture on the right hand side, We would have terminated sweet clover here in early July, and on the right-hand side we had a tilled fallow to represent what that would have looked like. And so this picture would have been taken probably about 5-6 weeks later in the growing season. You can see how much weed growth we have on the right-hand side. On the left-hand side we have virtually no weeds in there. So partly that's the physical suppression of those residues, but that's a large part of that is the allelopathic effect from sweet clover residues decaying as well. So growers like that a lot. So one of the big questions they had was, what's the nitrogen story? They're growing these crops to get nitrogen into their systems. So we measured soil N the following spring. So this is now spring of year three in that system. And you can see that the plowing treatment was often the highest. But really what growers are doing now is this disc treatment, and in both years that mowing treatment compared favorably with the disc treatment. Weed density, so this is where we had a bit of a disadvantage here. So there was still quite a bit of residue, even though, you know, we terminated it in the midsummer the previous year, we still had quite a bit of residue in that mowed sweet clover treatment. And we had a lower wheat stand. Now that's not a terrible stand, but it was lower than the other treatments, and so that could be a disadvantage. When we went and looked at wheat yield, though, that we didn't really see that. Again, if we compare the dist and the mow treatment in the first experiment, very similar yields. And but in year two, that the dist treatment, or in experiment two, I mean. The disc treatment was better than the mow treatment. So one of the 2 years they were comparable, and the other year the disc treatment was still the best treatment. And then wheat protein. So this is again showing that the mowed treatment. Where's my thing here? Okay, so the disc and the mow treatment compared pretty favorably in both of those years. And again, this treatment where we remove the residues often was not as good a treatment. So wheat protein is important. This we grow the, you know, this is hard red spring wheats with a high protein content. They go to Europe and they're blended off with low protein wheats from Europe. So the high protein is the reason why they want our wheat in the first place. And so that's a very big quality marketing component. So if we can come in at 15-16%, that's very positive. So now we'll talk a little bit about the roller crimper. So we've heard quite a bit about that this morning. So that's not something that that many producers are using. So we're just starting to sort of play around with that in some research studies, and we'll show you a little bit of data. And I'm sure you all know what it sort of looks like as you go through the whole process. So this is some of Steve Shurtleff's data from the University of Saskatchewan. And he went in here with a roller crimper versus mowing versus a tillage treatment. And he was looking at weed regrowth. And we had three killing times here, early flowering, late flowering, and at the bud stage. And certainly it shows that where we crimped or mowed treatments, we often had less weed regrowth than the tillage treatment. So that's certainly a positive in terms of weed management. This is a study from University of Manitoba that Martin Enns conducted, and he was looking at a series of treatments. We'll sort of roll them down here, but he had rolling treatments only, followed by rolling treatments with a certain amount of tillage, and then he was looking at what that meant to following crops and a number of things. So you can see the treatments here, various combinations of rolling and tillage. A tillage would have been a cultivation treatment, a narrow blade, V-blade type cultivator. So one of the things we're certainly hoping to do is to keep that ground cover to prevent, reduce soil erosion potential. So that's, one of the, maybe the number one thing we're trying to get out of this. So certainly the rolling looked pretty positive. So this is spring of year two, and you can see where we had rolled, we still have lots of residue on the soil surface there, and where we tilled, obviously that's that's a risk of erosion event. Now, we go look at some of the data in terms of yield. So this is from this experiment. And so 2 out of 3 years, we had a lower yield in the rolled only treatment than we did where we had some tillage. And then as the number of tillage operations increased over here, then that was a positive. We were getting closer and closer and closer to the tilled line. So 2 out of 3 years, a bit of a detriment there. What might be some of the reasons for that? They measured nitrogen uptake. And there was a fair difference here. So the very top line is the tilled only treatment, and the bottom green line is the rolled treatment. So there was reduced nitrogen uptake into the crop in that rolled only treatment. And they looked at potential losses of nitrogen in the system. So here they're measuring ammonia volatilization. And in the rolled-only treatment, at some of the sampling days, there was higher N losses to the atmosphere than in the till treatment. So that is potentially one negative thing. But I do want you to sort of note the scale. I mean, these numbers are pretty small. So when we say there's losses, in a way, those are not really big losses that you're going to worry about in a major way. So. The third example, we're going to talk a little bit about in-crop mechanical weed control. So this is some of Eric Johnson's work with Agriculture Canada in Scott, Saskatchewan. And he's done quite a bit of work looking at, what are the possibilities of tillage equipment you could use really in it that would maintain residue and, still be able to work in that system. So, what are some of the needs? The needs to control weeds in the presence of surface residues. And we have to maintain those residues to reduce wind erosion, and we need to perform at high work rates and on large scales. I guess the other thing that I should have mentioned right at the start is our farms are pretty large. So even our organic producers are commonly 2,000, 3,000 acres under production. So they can't go in with, a 10-foot whatever and and get anything done. So so it's large scale, big fields. So he's done quite a bit of work with the Rotary Ho, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with that, and has had some good success with that. And I'll just show you some of his data. So one of the first things he wanted to determine,
how long?
2 minutes. Okay, wrap it up pretty quick. It's just so could we maintain residues with a Rotary Ho? And at the bottom there, he has 6 passes with the Rotary Ho, and we still have good surface residues. So that means that it could sort of meet that objective. He looked at what that might mean in terms of, that was before planting, this is in crop, and certainly crops are pretty tolerant, and he could do 2 or 3 passes with a Rotary Ho and not really reduce the yield of pea and lentil. And then when he looked at weed control, he got reasonable weed control, and he found that if he went once at ground crack and then once at the 3-node stage in field pea, he could get pretty decent weed control there. So I'm just going to finish up with one last little study we're starting. He shows a picture of some old equipment sort of sitting in the bush here. So are there opportunities? I don't know how many people would be familiar with a Noble Blade here. But this was invented in Lethbridge about 60 years ago, specifically to control weeds in summer fallow situations. And so it goes very shallow, undercuts the roots, just cuts them off, and then the residue just sort of flows over that blade and all the residue is left on the soil surface. So there are lots of these old machines kicking around, and you can still buy them, actually. So wood did have a fit in a system, lower tills type of system. So we have a couple of new studies that Martin and Steve and I are conducting right now. One of them is a new cover crop termination study, we'll call it. So we're working with a barley pea cover crop. Our treatments are a Noble Blade, a flail mower, a roller crimper. We have a roller crimper followed by some fall cultivation. We have a double disc treatment and we have tilled fallow. And this was our first year in 2010. So that's conducted in the 3 provinces in Western Canada. So I'm just going to show you, just about done here. I got 3 or 4 pictures to show you. So this is, we went in at, heading or anthesis stage of barley. Kill those treatments. That's what the Noble Blade looks like about 4 weeks after treatment. That's what the flail mower looks like. So reasonable kill, but starting to get some regrowth there. The roller crimper was actually looked pretty good two or three weeks afterwards, but by 4 weeks we were starting to get regrowth, and then you would have to go back in. In fact, we did go back in with a roller crimper at this stage and do it again. And then that's what the double disc would look like. So a few conclusions. I think there is potential out there, but obviously there's still quite a bit of work that needs to be done. Crop kill is often slower, but we have less weed growth in some type of reduced till system. Repeated operations would be necessary. Certainly with that roller crimper, we're going to have to go in, if we're killing in July, we're going to have to go in 2-3 times at least before fall freeze up. The mowed versus disc sweet clover showed some pretty good potential, and we actually have a few producers that are doing that, so that's a step in the right direction. Yield of wheat in Martin's study, 2 out of 3 years he had some reduced yield there, so there's some concerns, and Eric has shown that, Rotary Ho may have a fit in these systems as well. So we'll end it there, and thank you for your attention.
We have time for one question. Anybody have one question?
Does that Noble Blade, does that have a culture system in front of it?
It doesn't, but it needs one if you're going to use it in that system. So in our